Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The world of 911 emergency dispatching is brutally diverse. One minute you can be talking with someone about parking violations.
What's the process we are to take to have people towed? Because it's actually delaying the mail.
And then all hell can break loose. Then the rest of the day is crazy. We could have murders.
Hill County 911, what's your emergency?
I just killed my children.
Home invasions.
He's in my house. I shot him.
You shot him?
He was coming up towards me and I shot him.
Natural disasters.
Tornado came through and got us. I'm buried under a bomb to roll my lap.
Even bombings. My show, Music City 911, will put you in the dispatcher's chair. Put you ear to ear with the callers and responders. And keep you on edge from start to finish. I hope to both educate and entertain, as I'm a 911 dispatcher with over 20 years experience. And just like dispatching, every episode is different from the last. Music City 911. Real 911 calls. Real 911 dispatchers. Available to listen to on any podcast app.
Normally on this show, I share scary true stories of the paranormal, and there will be more of those to come. But tonight we're going to do something different. We will take a step back and ask, why are there so many paranormal channels, shows, and podcasts out there? And more specifically, why are you so drawn to this spooky topic like I am? I want to share a theory with you, which is one way of explaining the explosion of interest in ghosts. I hadn't planned on sharing these thoughts with you, to be honest, until this afternoon when I was interviewed about something close to this topic, and it just came to me, maybe I should share this here. I'm a little nervous about talking about this stuff because I get paranoid that if I ever mention religion to people, they will think I'm trying to convert them. Please listen closely to me. Anyone who knows me personally will know that that's not what I'm about. The community of people who have built up around my shows and books and podcasts include Christians, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, Satanists, Wiccans, agnostics. Everyone is welcome because I think we work best when we treat each other like human beings and learn from one another. So if you're expecting some sort of big evangelical altar call at the end of this, find a different show. What I'm about to share with you is not trying to shift you from one belief to another. It is simply trying to explore a potential reason why you are in the position you already are. To ask what has helped fuel this massive interest in the paranormal and what is going on in the paranormal communities that we find ourselves building together. And I want to frame this through a simple yet controversial question. And it's this, I hope you'll bear with me through it. Is the paranormal a new religion? I was ordained as a church minister back in the mid-2000s, and while these days I mostly work as an author, podcaster, and now YouTuber, I do some church work here and there. And when people hear that I have been ordained, they often assume that I had a religious upbringing. But I didn't, not at all. My family never went to church, not even at Christmas. Organized religion seemed weird, useless, and restrictive to me, and Christians, oh my goodness, they were the worst. Especially when the few I had met said that my rabid interests in horror films, the paranormal, and minor chord songs were evil. This made me angry, to be honest, which is why I started a band at school called Creatures of the Night. We only wrote 3 songs, each penned to be as offensive as possible. Diabolo was the song I wrote about religion, and the lyrics talked about burning the Bible and spitting on God. You get the idea. Once I even crept into the RE teacher's empty classroom with a black biro pen stuffed in my fist, and I flicked through the class Bibles and violently circled every mention of the name Satan. I wasn't even a Satanist. I was a hardworking and polite student, otherwise I just had issues with Christians. But then at Lancaster University, something happened that spun my head. I became a Christian. I'll skip all the details of that because it's a long story, but let's just say it involved a gorgeous woman and a plastic rat. That I found religion at 21 was a beer-spitting shock to everybody, especially me. Not just because I was the anti-church guy who organized impromptu ghost hunts. It was weird because nobody I knew was growing into faith. If anything, everyone was growing out of it. My formative years were the 1980s, and as a Generation Xer, I'd watched the severe decline of organized religion with glee, I might add, and religion had kept on deflating ever since. Even though I'd call myself a Christian, I strongly sympathize with church avoiders, especially when the dominant face of religion, particularly online, are the fundamentalists. They are often known for bigotry, prejudice, intolerance, violence, and worst of all, socks with sandals. Most reasonable people are just not going to accept that stuff. So it's no shock to see that people stopped going to church. Indeed, since the pandemic, many Christians have even stopped going to church. So what has dealt this fatal blow to church attendance? If you asked that question back in 2006, the answer might have seemed easy. It was atheism. The God Delusion hit the shelves that year by Richard Dawkins, the book, and prompted a flurry of skepticism. I was training for ordination at the time, and I remember how that book caused an earthquake of private worry in church circles, especially when colleagues spotted me reading it. By 2011, 59.3% in the UK described themselves as Christian, and by 2021, that figure had sank to 46.2%. For the first time ever, the 2021 census showed that less than half of the population of England and Wales described themselves as Christian. Now, in response to this, I saw a flurry of tweets saying, finally, atheism is becoming the dominant view. But it's just not quite as simple as that. As we explore this topic of why the paranormal is so big today, I am conscious that it can be a lot to take in. I've been digging so deeply into this theory and gathering all the complicated threads. It's been a lot for me to juggle too. But you know what's helped me bring some focus to preparing this particular episode? It's called Magic Mind. Magic Mind is a productivity drink that helps you stay motivated, positive, and productive. And I've been using it all week. Even after the first bottle, I did feel a bit different. I had a really productive evening that night and was eager to work through my to-do list. But I wasn't all jacked up and jittery like I'd downed some sugar-drenched energy drink. Magic Mind isn't like that. It just gives you a subtle but noticeable boost of focus and positive energy, which has really helped me with this fairly complicated and unusual episode. But life is complicated. I think wonderfully so. Really. But sometimes it can be challenging to keep on track. Well, I'm finding that Magic Mind can help keep some of those complicated threads together. If you think it might help you too, then they have a limited offer you can use now that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with code FRIGHTFUL20 at checkout. You can claim it at magicmind.com/frightful. About a month after the 2021 census, the think tank Theos surveyed 5,153 Britons, and it led to a report that challenged the view that no religion meant no belief. Yes, 51% of those who ticked no religion stated they don't believe in God, but 42% of them said they believed in some form of the supernatural. Sociologists call them the nones, people who describe themselves as spiritually open but not religious. I'm not the biggest fan of the word nones. It sounds too much like nuns, which frankly is a bit confusing when you're talking about this topic. So since these people are neither atheists nor strongly religious and somewhere in between, let's just call them the in-betweeners. The growth of the in-betweeners is impressively broad-based, with both men and women, school leavers and graduates, and rich and poor seeing themselves this way. The in-betweeners are growing in every region of the UK and across the Western world. Are you one of them? Well, if you're unsure, if you're an in-betweener, ask yourself these two simple questions. A. Are you open to some form of the supernatural existing? Some form. B. Do you attend a formal place of worship most weeks? If you said yes for A and no for B, you're probably a non, an in-betweener. The growth of such a vast and open-minded group has created what you might call a quote, spiritual quest culture today, where everybody is invited to diversify their own spiritual portfolios. We're all on our own journey, in other words, choosing what works for us. This really appeals to me as well, because I'm a pretty postmodern type of person. That's the way my mind works. After all, if we can choose between breakfast cereals, Krispy Kreme flavored donuts, and streaming services, why wouldn't we want the same autonomy with something as huge as our own worldview? We like our spirituality served a la carte because we, I think quite rightly, love choice and are understandably wary of absolutes. So what's hot on the belief menu these days? Well, take a look across podcasts, YouTube channels, books, and TV shows, and you'll find it pretty quick. It's the paranormal. As well as my own shows, I've also been part of a BBC show called Uncanny. Each week, the presenter, Danny Robbins, examines eyewitness accounts of ghosts, cryptids, or alien sightings, but without any sense of sneering dismissal. Instead, this is a heartfelt and open-minded exploration into spooky things. Plus, it's proper scary, which is fun. Uncanny has become a bit of a phenomenon with millions of global downloads. It's won awards, it's sparked a sellout live theatre tour in the UK and a TV show. And one of the reasons it's so popular is how it's presented. Experiencers tell their stories, then two experts offer their thoughts. The skeptic suggests, for example, hey, maybe that ghost was a hallucination. Whereas the believer says, hey, maybe that ghost was actually a ghost. Each opinion is shared respectively and cautiously, leaving the audience to make up their own mind. This formula is tailor-made for the in-betweeners, who don't want to be told what to believe or pushed into an extreme corner. I've been one of the experts on the show, though I feel a bit strange calling myself that, but even as a member of Team Believer, I'm allowed to share my doubts too. It's a safe space to be an in-betweener. Sometimes I feel like an in-betweener myself. It's the same with my shows too. I'm not here to prove the paranormal or disprove it. I want to respect both sides of the argument and present cases that people genuinely believe have happened to them. And then you can make up your own mind as to what the cause is. But it's the topic itself that really resonates with people today, the paranormal. Ghosts in particular have exploded in popularity since the early 2000s, from paranormal reality shows to the boom in real-life ghost hunting clubs. All this spooky stuff is clearly scratching an itch, but what exactly is that itch? Well, don't be offended, but what if the paranormal boom is linked to those dwindling church numbers I mentioned earlier? What if the paranormal is popular? Because it offers something rather clever. It gives us a way to be religious without being religious. This might sound odd, I get that, and offensive even. It also might be totally wrong, I'm open to that. But when you compare these two tracks of supernatural inquiry, the church and the paranormal, they don't half feel similar. For a start, the core beliefs of both the paranormal community and traditional religions mirror one another. They both challenge conventional academic and scientific thinking with a bold claim that there is a deeper, hidden, metaphysical world around us. They both share a social function too. When I first tried out church, I remember finding myself sitting in a pew with a teenager, a pensioner, a CEO, and a homeless guy. What connected us was our shared supernatural interest. And the message was from the front saying that the spiritual quest we were all on meant that we were all as important as each other, that we were family. I couldn't think of any other place in society where I regularly connected with such diverse strangers until I started speaking at paranormal conferences. I saw the same demographic spread there, united by a supernatural interest. Listening to me now will be people from every walk of life, rich or poor, young and old, but we're connected by this interest in spooky things. This is important because in a spiritual quest culture, seekers need to feel like there are people out there who get them. Especially when, in some circles, expressing a belief in God or ghosts can go down like a fart at a funeral. It happened to me just the other night. I was at a dinner party when a few hours in, my wife took me to one side and said, "Peter, can you just ease off talking about poltergeists? People are getting scared." And that's just ghosts. If you mention God at a dinner party, folks get awkward and offended, fights break out. This is why the paranormal has naturally developed into a social group with multiple ways of connecting with like-minded people, both offline, but especially on. The paranormal community resonates because it feels like family with a common interest. They understand the quirkiness that we have that maybe our neighbors don't. Now, you might say that any quirky interest will form such groups. Heck, for this book, I wrote The Frighteners, I attended a convention of furries. And I was in a hotel filled with people dressed in animal fursuits, and there was undoubtedly a sense of this is a tribe that accepts each other. But the paranormal community and the church community take things a step further. They are a family of people who are, not to put too fine a point on it, together breaking the veil of reality itself. In other words, they're both asking the same fundamental question. Firstly, is there anybody there? Sometimes that is fired out to a potential spirit on the other end of a Ouija board. But a church, you kneel at an altar and ask the same thing, is there anybody there? And they both ask this question horizontally too. Is there anybody there in the sense of, I mean, right there with me, walking on this sometimes lonely journey? Navigating a world of mystery, do you ever feel lonely with your strange interests? Well, both churches and the paranormal can actively create like-minded companions for this spiritual quest. Now, you might be a paranormal fan and strongly object to this idea, saying that your interest in ghosts is purely scientific. And that may well be true, but it's not true for all. In a 2015 article, sociologist Mark Eaton argued that attempts to establish the scientific legitimacy of paranormal investigations are, quote, ultimately part of a larger process of spiritual seeking. Now, bear with me, because that could sound offensive, but just let me explain. I'll put it a different way. Most ghost hunters that I know who employ scientific methods like measuring equipment, you know, record keeping, they ultimately want to find evidence of an afterlife. Not all, mind you. Some are neutral. Some just enjoy the topic and don't care if it's real or not. Others are convinced it's not real, and their goal is to bring truth and clarity into a space in which wild claims are made. I get that, and we need those people. But those guys often find their core tribe at the skeptic conventions and groups. Yet after meeting thousands of people in the supernatural scene, and after viewing the most popular paranormal content on TV and online, and reading thousands of comments from listeners and viewers of my stuff, this is what I have seen. Most of us appear to be driven by the hope of glimpsing something extraordinary, that we want it to be real. Some admit that the thing that sparked this quest into the paranormal was grief, that we have lost loved ones and are looking for comfort and hints of a reunion. Others say they've just always loved spooky things and seek evidence to validate that impulse. Some of the most fascinating paranormal fans had no prior interest in the topic until they had an inexplicable encounter. Just check out some of my other episodes to meet people who were going about their everyday business, only to suddenly start seeing books flying off the shelves, mysterious lights in the sky, or frightening apparitions appearing to them. They suddenly find themselves airdropped into the paranormal space and so naturally want to make sense of what feels like nonsense to them. A frequent comment you hear is, I don't believe in ghosts, but I saw one and I just want to understand. Well, with all that in mind, I have met just as many people who list all the same reasons for turning up at church. Some have lost someone and seek supernatural hope. Some suspect God probably exists but would like more proof to back that up. Some weren't even thinking about God until something weird happened, like a friend of mine who went to an adult baptism a little while ago, and that man who was being baptized stood in front of the church and said to the congregation, I used to ride past this church on my motorbike each day, not interested in the slightest, until one morning I was passing and I suddenly heard God's audible voice telling me to go inside. It was so wild that I did. I heard a sermon, changed my life, and that's why I'm being baptized today. So the people who are drawn to either religion or the paranormal may seem like opposite camps, but actually their motivations are often identical. But there's another motivating factor that commonly drives people to ghosts or God, and it is a big one. It's death, or more precisely, the fear of it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
According to a meta-analysis study by the University of Oxford, there are two groups of people who aren't particularly scared of death. One is the strongly religious. These guys are so convinced that heaven exists that life's end just feels like a premium upgrade. I've seen this myself with elderly Christians who didn't have long left, and I remember them talking about death like it was going to be their greatest holiday. Praise God, I'm off to glory. The other group who aren't as fussed about dying are atheists. This is actually one of the beautiful things about atheism. You see, when a loved one is killed in a freak lawnmower accident, an atheist is just as devastated as anybody else. But they know that they're dealing with a freak lawnmower accident. They're not baking deeper meanings into it or frantically searching for patterns. They aren't screaming to the heavens, "Why, God, why?" They're not worrying if the blades were punishment for moral failure, and they're certainly not stressing over where their loved one might be post-mortem, up in heaven or getting prodded with pitchforks in hell. Does that mean atheism makes you more chill about death? Possibly. Unless some people choose atheism because they're pretty chill about death already, and therefore the death solution system of religion has less allure, that could be it too. But what I'm moving towards is the main point. Guess who suffers from death anxiety the most? The in-betweeners. It's all down to that open-minded, who-knows stance which attracted them into that position in the first place. But that vagueness about belief is a wonderful freeing experience until the Grim Reaper rocks up, and then people can feel a bit at sea with a lack of framework. What if there's nothing? They might wonder. What if there's something? They might wonder. What if there is a choice to be made and I picked the wrong one? They might say. And so for people who fear death, the paranormal offers a sort of comfort. The scariest ghosts can imply continuation. Even nicer, they do it without focusing on the binary world of heaven and hell. I'll be honest with you, death anxiety is one of the main reasons I've been fascinated with horror films and the paranormal my whole life. Again, I talk about this in length in my book, The Frighteners. It's one of the reasons I was drawn to spirituality too. Death scares me, it disturbs me. And that fear has led me both to church and the paranormal. I'm quite happy to be in both of those camps. But I rarely meet anybody else who chooses both. People tend to think they have to pick one or the other, God or ghosts, and most pick the latter. Here's a potential reason why. The paranormal offers a particularly appealing spirituality for the modern mindset because it doesn't come with moral demands. Now, all right, calm down. I'm not saying that paranormal fans aren't moral, while religious people are. One of the reasons church attendance has tanked so much is because of the shocking religious hypocrisy. When Christians act anything but Christ-like, it puts people off, and quite rightly too, I understand that. But forget about the people for a minute. I'm talking about the worldview. The religions of the world offer the chance of a spiritual encounter, but they come also with an expectation of service, morality, or sacrifice. Whether you agree in the morality system they offer is one thing, but what I'm saying is there's like a moral code they have to follow. For example, many of the committed Christians I know routinely give 10% of their gross income away. They call it tithing. It's not to earn God's love or to impress fellow believers. They're supposed to do it in secret. It's just that their chosen spiritual track says that sharing resources is part of the deal. You just don't see that expectation at paranormal conferences. That's not to say supernatural fans aren't giving and generous. Oh my goodness, believe me, they are. I'm just saying that that's not what it's about, is it? If it were to turn into a morality lesson, I think people would hate it. Imagine if at the end of every episode of Frightful, I did a section called, "What does this ghost story teach us?" And I said, "Hey, today in this story, the vengeful spirit we met was angry for centuries. That teaches us that it's not healthy to hold on to grudges. So remember, if someone treats you badly this week, try to forgive them, because it's good to love our enemies. Let's learn from this ghost tonight." I'm Peter Laws, and you've been listening to Frightful. Oh my goodness, I'm cringing inside just thinking about it. My point is that despite a few bad eggs, paranormal culture is crammed with lovely people. But the fact that they're kind is just an absolutely wonderful bonus. Ghosts do not demand community service, social change, or even personal morality. Rather, the paranormal is about this highly personalized quest for individual revelation. That's why it's so appealing to people like me or the in-betweeners. It offers the chance of spiritual encounters without telling people who to be or what to do. And who can blame people for resisting this? When we've seen religious fundamentalists painting stark and very restrictive views of what it means to be moral, in between us feel they can make better, more authentic moral choices themselves, and so they reject the church, but they're still open to belief. They don't feel they fit into the atheist camp either, and hence the paranormal community is born. But here's another reason why the paranormal appeals so much to us today, and it's simply this: evidence. The paranormal is a spirituality that actively encourages the search for evidence. Book into a real-life ghost hunt in your area, and you'll find people waving EMF meters and digital thermometers in the air, all while capturing the spooky shenanigans on 4K night vision video and digital audio. How seriously these devices are employed largely depends on the group, but that's not the point. Whether it's authentically scientific or just feels scientific, the paranormal offers a spirituality that is designed to be tested. Now compare that to religion, which appears to expect blind faith. I say appears, by the way, because for the record, most Christians I know base their faith on evidence, not blind faith. But still, if you turn up at church this Sunday and you whip out your thermal camera during prayers, people will frown at you. You might even get kicked out for not taking it seriously. Sidebar, I actually think this is a fascinating and untapped line of Fortean inquiry. Paranormal investigation teams should be taking their equipment and methods to check for activity in church services, and churches should be eager to invite them, especially the charismatic churches that claim to have healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. But anyway, that's an aside. Not once have I heard a preacher invite the congregation or public to scientifically test what is happening there and then, especially with equipment. I'm not saying we have to test God per se, but what I mean is we should be allowed to weigh up the claims of Christians. Instead, the perceived approach of religion is just believe it and don't ask questions. No wonder so many people turn to the paranormal instead, which says test everything, question everything, and make up your own mind. Such words are like sweet music to the in-betweeners. Since paranormal and religious groups have similar goals and functions, you might think there'd be a high-five camaraderie and kinship between the two groups, but there isn't. I learned this the first time I attended a paranormal conference. I was a church minister at the time, and the topic of the day was understanding witchcraft. I thought it would be a good opportunity to learn more about that and to break some of the stereotypes down, to meet some witches who might be able to tell me about their beliefs. And when I told my Christian friends I was attending this, I heard their jaws audibly click open. I was putting myself in spiritual danger just by being with such people. So anyway, I turned up and chatted with some friendly Wiccans that day. There were pastries, I recall. And yet when I mentioned to them that I was a Christian, I heard their jaws click. Some thought I'd come to condemn them, or at least to convert them. And if that didn't work, to rig up yon gallows. So yeah, the two tracks share very much, but they are very separate. That's partly because religious folks only support certain supernatural topics. Have you noticed that? Miracles, heaven, hell. Well, they're A-OK. But astrology, reincarnation, communication with the dead, they're often seen as demonic, particularly by the evangelical wing of the church. So you can see why there is a disconnect between the two groups. Now, before you get all sniffy and say that church folk are close-minded, I've found a similarly stubborn streak in the paranormal community. I have had paranormal enthusiasts laugh their heads off at the idea of a divine being creating the cosmos. And when the conversation turns to fairies, they're like, oh yeah, elementals definitely exist. Now, whether fairies are real or not is besides the point. What matters here is perception. Belief in God is one of the most consistent, most well-studied, and widely held ideas in all of human culture and history. And yet for many paranormal fans today, the notion of God is far less credible than Slender Man or Jeff the Talking Mongoose. So while the paranormal and religious crowds share similar goals, hopes, and functions, they do keep themselves to themselves, and they form these kind of metaphysical ghettos. I like to try and break that stuff down. Yet this exodus from the church is creating some interesting fusions in the paranormal world, and for that, we turn to demons. Despite the similarities between the two groups, we are dealing with two very different interpretive frameworks. So, for example, a dark, shadowy figure materializes in an evangelical Christian's house, they will shout, demon! If it's a paranormal fan's house, they will shout, ghost! Alien! Sleep paralysis! Elemental! Shadow man! Skinwalker, take your pick. There's so much to choose from. The lack of a fixed answer is a big draw for the in-betweeners, but it can also lead to a messy Wild West of ideas. Now, this is interesting. I think, ironically, because of all of these church leavers who have turned onto the paranormal, they have brought their spiritual rhetoric with them. I've observed this over the last decade, especially in the supernatural TV and TikTok world, where ghosts are no longer just ghosts. They may well be demons from hell. Paranormal investigations can also take on a ritualistic vibe with blessings and smudgings along with the gadgets. It's led some to suggest that the current paranormal boom is more akin to the spiritualist movement of the latter 19th century. And yet this blurring isn't only in ghost hunting. There was a time when cryptozoology was seen in purely rational terms. The Loch Ness Monster or the Yeti were fascinating, mysterious creatures, but they were ultimately just animals we hadn't discovered yet. It's the same with aliens. Back in the Flying Saucer 50s, ETs were merely biological creatures that happened to be from a distant planet, possibly visiting us, possibly probing an anus or two. But now, paranormal books and conferences suggest that Bigfoot might be a mystical supernatural being with powers to read minds and teleport, and aliens are not just creatures from another star, they might be ancient spiritual beings or even our creators, or our Earth's only hope for survival. I've got friends who regularly meditate so they can contact benevolent aliens. It's like we're finding acceptable replacements for the angels and gods we thought we had grown out of, but maybe just changed the faces. Since the in-betweeners are such a big group, we shouldn't be surprised at where we find the prime expression of their paranormal interest, and that is popular culture. That's not just because the topic is in such high demand, it is also probably the only place it's allowed to live. You see, you can't talk about the paranormal, at least seriously, in many mainstream scientific institutions. It's not covered much in our education or academic centers. It's certainly not discussed in the Houses of Parliament or Congress, not properly. You can't even explore the paranormal at that fundamentally supernatural institution, the church, because that's not the right type of spiritual activity. Our paranormal interest must go somewhere, and so it's left to the only institution that will accept it, the entertainment industry, which is, of course, where most people are, making it accessible, therefore, to millions, no matter who they are, what they earn, or what they specifically believe. What does the future hold for our spiritual quest culture? Who knows? But I hope it involves religious and paranormal people recognizing one another as fellow travelers. But here's my wider prediction. Organized religion will continue to decline, but will not vanish. Atheism will remain significant and possibly grow, but will not dominate. Instead, I think we're going to see the continued rise of the in-betweeners. And this means that paranormal interest will be with us for a good while yet. And I even suspect it will gain more legitimacy in the public square. A striking example is how mass media are just much more open to discuss UFOs and UAPs, for example. Looking further ahead, don't be shocked if we see a resurgence in traditional religion too. You might think that doesn't make sense, but listen, human ideas work in fashion cycles. Christianity was once the wild, hip underdog, challenging the establishment, and then it became the establishment and it's lost its appeal. A bit like when Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols came on TV doing an advert for Country Life Butter. But once religion sinks back down to the groovy grassroots, it may well beguile again. All this is crystal ball speculation, of course, but here's one last thing I would bet my car on. Humans will never outgrow the spiritual quest. We might express it in new ways, but the core curiosity will persist. We cannot help but wonder about consciousness, music, meaning, laughter, pain, evil, life, death, and yes, life after death. Some might call that yearning a weakness we'd be best off without. Others see it as evidence in itself of another world. Author C.S. Lewis argued that the things that humans relentlessly desire tend to exist in real life. You know, we long for sex, sex exists. We long for food, food exists. Lewis says we consistently want there to be something else spiritually because maybe there is. Like belief in the supernatural is a signal we can't turn off even if we wanted to because it's being broadcast to us from elsewhere. With my Spit on the Bible songs at school, I tried hard to reject the idea of faith, but it refused to reject me. Because of that, I wound up in both the church and paranormal because they explore the same beliefs, or at least hopes, of a supernatural realm. and also because I've met the most wonderful, precious, and interesting people in both. The paranormal might not be technically classed as a new religious movement, but man, I think it sure ticks some of the same boxes. Its ace card, however, is that unlike organized religion, it does this with an uncanny knack for the moment. A perfectly brewed spirituality for the modern mindset, which fuses the hopes of religion with the openness of postmodernism, the suspicion of authority, and then adds in the testing of science. And then it just asks the same basic question we have always asked, and always will. Is there anybody there? And is there anybody there? I'm Peter Laws, and I'm here. And you've been listening to Is the Paranormal a New Religion? Good night. Just a reminder, if you want to check out Magic Mind, then have a look at the link in the show notes. Thanks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.